And our text will be Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. I won't read that again, but please do turn to that in your Bibles, Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we all have had knocks at our door from people holding a book or a magazine in hand, like the Watchtower magazine, and they want you to take it. They put it in your hands, perhaps. They want you to take hold of that, bring it into your house. Essentially, when they hand out the Watchtower, they're saying, come to us. Come to the Kingdom Hall. Make it your home. And you will find what you need for your soul there. And the same thing can be said for other cults that hand out literature or tracts. They come to your door with claims of truth and offers of hope and love for those who are desperate, those looking for help. In Mexico, there is a cult called Luz del Mundo, which means the light of the world. It sounds so promising, it sounds so caring to those who are very needy in a land like that, who are often looking for cures for sickness because they can't afford the health care or help in their poverty. And here comes this group called the Light of the World, people who believe in Jesus only, who are there to offer them that help. But there's no life in these invitations, because there's no Savior. There's no true belief in His deity. It's a work-based religion and not a grace-based one. It's slavery either to the Watchtower or some other heavy burden. But here this afternoon, we have a real invitation. The key here is in this phrase, come to me. This was given at a time when there were many deceivers. The scribes and the Pharisees laid heavy burdens on the people. Their demands gave no rest. But Jesus came to give rest. And this very personal invitation, He wants to enter your life and be your God and Savior. He knocks at the door today through sermons, through the scriptures being read, through godly examples, and He comes to you as a friend to offer His life to you. And whatever you may be facing in your life, He's there in your family problems, or your marital problems, or your loneliness and your empty house. And He comes to you in your suffering and in your guilt, and He wants to have that fellowship with you. So consider this invitation in preparation for Lord's Supper next week. And we'll do that this afternoon by considering 3 points from it. First, consider why this invitation is given to you. Well, very clearly it's given in order to help you. It's addressed to those who are weary and heavy laden, that is, those who are burdened with sin. They know their sin. They know that if they were to stand before God with their sin laid on them, they would be pronounced guilty. They're not ready to argue that point. They know this. They know they're without hope apart from the mercy of God. And He comes precisely to those who are burdened in their consciences. That becomes very clear when we look at the terminology that Jesus uses in this invitation. He speaks of laboring. To labor means to grow weary with wearisome effort. To labor means to work until you are absolutely fatigued. You work to the point where you are out of gas. We've all been there. We've done that ourselves. For example, you work all day and all night. You do your day job, and perhaps at night you have other activities going on. You come home to paint the house until 12 a.m. Or perhaps you are underneath the car working on your vehicle, working until the midnight hour. And then when you're done, you drop dead tired into your bed. You wake up the next day to do the same thing all over. Imagine laboring like this for 4 weeks in a row. Waking up at 5 a.m. to get to work, working all day and part of the evening, coming home past the supper hour, having a quick supper, and then working for another 4 hours into the night. And going on like this for 4 weeks, never being able to finish your work, never being able to be satisfied in it, never being able to finish a project that you're working on. That would be terribly exhausting. Well, I mentioned that as a physical example. Here it refers to that crushing load of a sin-laden, guilt-ridden conscience. You're pulling yourself up by your own efforts with weariness. As a first century Jew, as you heard these words from Jesus, you would naturally compare yourself to those who seem to have it all together. The Pharisees in the temple, those who would fast twice a week, who tithed, who did everything right, and who never appeared to have sinned. They were the blameless ones. To that person who compared himself to the Pharisees, Jesus says, "Come to me. You've got a burden that you can't carry. You've got the burden of life's struggles and uncertainties. Tomorrow is unclear. You've got the burden of looking after those who may be frail. You have the burden of taking care of your family with your own failures and guilt as a parent. You've got the burden of loneliness." It says in the book of Proverbs that a man's spirit can endure sickness, but a troubled spirit, who can bear? Jesus says, "Ask for my help." Are you laboring with these things? The guilt of sin, the pressing care of life, come to me, all you who are weary. And Jesus adds, heavy laden, which is somebody with a load on his back. He's not only weary because you're laboring for your own salvation. If that's not hard enough, you've got an oversized backpack weighing 400 pounds on your back. Think again of the Pharisees during this time period. Just during this time period, when you followed every single 705 commandments that the rabbis had you to follow, that was supposed to be rest. The Pharisees and the Sadducees would pile on the obligations and the commands on the people. This is a picture here of Christian in that book, Pilgrim's Progress. As he's in that city of destruction, he's got this huge weight on his back, and he's walking around with this weight, with a book in his hand, which tells him to flee from that city of destruction and to go to the celestial city, to go to that hill where his burden can be removed. And how can that burden be released? How can that burden be taken away? Well, there's only one way. But it's surprising how many people today do not even know how that burden is to be taken away. Even within this Christian culture that we live in. Michael Horton has written a book called Christless Christianity. And the main points in this book is that many popular ministries in America are simply not Christ-centered. He argues that the Christian subculture has been emptied of the good news. There may be a certain evangelical tone in sermons. That is, some still talk about Jesus. And they may speak warmly to people. They speak from the Bible. They give the impression that they are for the people, and for the people's blessing and encouragement, but just because they might be on their side doesn't mean that they're truly speaking about the blessings from the Lord. That is, they don't speak about how sinners can be reconciled to God through Christ and live in His life. That's why Michael Horton has written this book, because he sees how Christless the message of the gospel has become. And he gives some sampling of what's out there. Some of this might be familiar to you. For instance, he speaks of Joyce Meyer, a popular speaker on TV, who has said that she has realized that the gospel is not about rules, which is true. The gospel is not about rules. It's about loving God and each other. And so our application is, so what have you done this week to help out someone you know? You see, that's not the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel is not about loving God and our neighbor. That's not the heart of the gospel at all. That's the law. Joel Osteen, another popular speaker, reveals 7 keys that you can use to unlock the seeds of greatness in yourself. Joel Osteen says that these 7 points will help you, even though they have nothing to do with the Bible. He says to become better, you must keep pressing forward. You must be positive toward yourself. You must develop better relationships. You must form better habits. Embrace the place where you are. Develop your inner life. And stay passionate about life. But that's not where fullness is found. Our fullness is in no one else but Jesus. He's more than just a quick solution. He's more than just a self-help book you can buy on the shelf of many bookstores. He's more than just 7 steps to make your life blessed. He's everything. Christ has made this invitation to you today. And it's to help you. It's a call to repentance, to people who haven't found the answer in anything else. They're tired of trying to make it on their own. They know that they have failed. They're overpowered and overburdened by their sin. They know that they're lost. They know how easy it is to get pulled into sin. And the resources aren't there for them. They're incapable of doing right. But if we believe in Christ for our salvation and turn from our sin, we will be released from this load, this burden. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me will never hunger. He that believes on me will never thirst. I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light of life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Jesus says to the church of Laodicea and to us today, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. He's calling for your fellowship. He's calling that he might help you. It's that invitation of grace. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And that brings us to this second point, who this invitation leads you to. And it leads you to that great person, Jesus himself. He's not going to oppress you the way that the Pharisees oppressed. He's not going to give you something you can't handle. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Consider who he is. He's God's Son. You're made whole in him. He's the only way. There's no other way to God but through Jesus. Buddhism fails to help. Sikhism fails to help. Islam fails to help. None of these are the way to God. It's only Christ. And all other ways are yokes that you can't bear. But Jesus says, I am gentle. He's not going to break the bruised reed. When we're burdened with our sins, we can come to Him. We can work so hard to protect our own reputation. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you can come to me with your sins. He knows them anyway. But you come to Him with all that you have done wrong, and He will deal gently. He's not going to make fun of you or humiliate you. He wants to heal you. And He says, I am lowly in heart. He's not proud. He has a heart of humility, and He calls the sinner to Himself, and He says, I will care for you. And then He says this last thing, I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, yoke here, children, yoke doesn't mean that yellow part of the egg. A yoke is a wooden frame for animals like oxen that they would wear. There would be holes in them for their necks to go through. Jesus Himself may have grown up making yokes for oxen as the son of a carpenter. Jesus is saying, put your neck in my yoke. Take it on you and learn from me. Because what He requires of you is not hard or burdensome. It's easy to carry out His commands because they're done in gratitude to His grace. They're done through His power. Not through our strength. He's the one who's at work in us. Of course, that doesn't mean that life is going to be all roses. We have to submit in obedience to His Word. We must follow His instruction. We must let His Spirit take control of our lives. In fact, it may be hard sometimes to follow Christ. There's no denying this, but we have to make Christ the Lord of our lives. We have to make it a habit of bearing His yoke. It has to be a habit that we follow Him. Perhaps this is a helpful comparison. When you go to the dentist for a checkup, you're invited to sit down in the dentist chair, and the hygienist starts looking at your teeth, and she sees the buildup, and then she starts to check out your gums. You might even know what she's going to ask. She'll ask that question, how often do you floss? And if truth be told, if you are not making a habit of flossing, you have to admit it was perhaps that very morning or once a month or not at all. And she can scrape away at your teeth and your gums might bleed. And she takes out the cotton swab. And it can be painful, it can be irritating, and gums start to bleed. But she says to you, you know, if you make a habit of flossing every day, this wouldn't be as painful for you. You'd be better off. And that's what it should be like for us following the Lord. We need to be under Him, under His yoke daily. It's not enough just to be making amends to our lives just before the Lord's Supper. We need to be daily repenting of our sin, daily praying for forgiveness, daily seeking His grace in our lives. It's not enough to come to church once or twice a week and then live the way that we please the rest of the week. We must be daily in prayer, daily in the Word. We must be obeying Him on a daily basis. Of course, it's not by our works. We're not saved by our works. But we must take on His yoke. We must take on this burden that He places upon us because His yoke is easy in comparison to the hard life of living without Him. His yoke doesn't compare to the yoke of Islam, the kind of bondage that Islam puts people under, or the yoke of North American paganism. The life He calls you to live is clean and pure. We shudder to think of the thought of what would happen without Him in our own lives. Life is empty apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. But this invitation leads to no one, nowhere else who can help like Him. So He says, come to Me. Come to Me. And that leads us then to the last point, how this invitation helps you. And what it does for us is it leads us to rest. Rest for your souls. That's such a helpful thought. He promises blessing to all who come. I will give you rest. Rest from the terror of sin. Rest from the guilt of sin. He promises peace of conscience. Rest in God. Rest from the power of sin. A fullness of the sense of God's love. It's interesting, as you may notice, that in the next chapter we have more said about rest. Christ is going to announce Himself as being the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of true rest. He gives real rest, rest from our sins, rest from this life with the promise of the new heavens and the new earth. In Christ, there is that peace that passes all understanding. And we can be even at rest in the storms of life and the uncertainty of life. Rest is promised to us in the Lord. And that's what Jesus is offering you today. Are you weary, congregation? Weary with your own sinful heart? Weary because life is so hard? Come to Jesus. Come as you are. Be unburdened in Him. He's going to make you complete. He will be at your side no matter what happens to you. Your life is hid in Him. This is a friend request that you can't ignore. And you know what I mean by a friend request. If you're on Facebook or on the internet, someone requests to be your friend. And when that request comes up, you can choose to accept or decline. Well, this invitation is like a friend request, but you can't ignore this request. In fact, all those who are His elect will accept this request. As He says in the verses just before this, speaking of election, He says, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Your sight. All things have been delivered to Me by My Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. It's the elect who will receive this call by God's irresistible power. For not only have we been invited by Christ's word to come to Him and believe in Him, we've been invited to a feast. A feast meant for those who profess Christ to be their rest. We have a picture of this invitation to complement the Lord's words. The Lord wants us to eat and drink with us. He wants to commune with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. In the Lord's Supper, we're being reminded of where that rest is found. And we can be refreshed by Him. That rest is found in the sacraments. It's in this meal that we're reminded of where that relief is found. It's in the Lord. And we can experience that next week spiritually as we take that bread and wine and put our faith and trust in our Lord in heaven. And so may this meal next week cause you to look for your rest in the Lord. May it be an encouragement in your weariness in this life. May it be refreshing. May it remind you to take on that yoke of Christ, whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light. And may we be blessed in our communion with Him. Amen.